I'm not going to, like, hold them by the foot if they decide that it's too expensive or they don't want to work with me. It's really okay. I'm just so grateful that you're making the referral.
Great.
What are you hearing in that, Lorna, that's helpful for you?
Well, I'm hearing that a reminder that actually clients, they are interested and excited about referring, but that they need help with languaging it so that it's appropriate to kind of go down that road with them a little bit. And that, as you know, I've done work with myself to understand that everybody has a different story about money, and I can't assume that what's expensive for one person is expensive for another, or no go or whatever. And so just to remember that we're all humans and we all kind of have that.
Yes.
And to maybe come out of my fear about it a little bit and help them deal with their own fear about it.
That's what I'm really hearing here, Lorna. I think you just hit it on the head. And then just the one other piece I'll add is if it's a client that's making the referral, you know, you could say to them, like, imagine if someone made the referral to you, but they said to you beforehand, oh, but Lorna's kind of expensive, then we maybe would have never worked together because that may have been enough to stop you in your tracks and you never would have received, you know, and you can just talk to them about what they've received from you.
Okay.
So put them in that position as well. It may really help them see how, you know, what they're doing there. That makes sense?
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like, too, that it's a little bit of a thing in our culture to, you know, to qualify stuff that something's really expensive or I don't know what it is. I'm interested in kind of exploring that a little bit in my own head.
Yeah. I think that's an important question. And then, again, like, what's so important there is for you to educate, and we will talk more about that, to educate the people that you're asking to make referrals for you.
Yeah.
Great question.
Okay. Thank you. That's some useful tips. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. Okay, on my clock, it is 12:22 Eastern Time. I'm going to give you 18 minutes to make your list of referrals. So let's meet back on this line at 12:40. I know there were some other questions, so I'm gonna be back here at 12:35, and just from 12:35 to 12:40, if there are any other questions that I can answer on this first module, I'm happy to do so. But in terms of moving into module two, which is creating powerful referral opportunities and invitations, we will begin at 12:40 Eastern. So enjoy making your list of referrals, and I'll see you all about 18 minutes. Bye. Hi, everybody. This is Joanna. I'm back on the line. We're not officially starting Module 2, but I know that there were some other questions, and some of you have also written in. So I wanted to just spend a couple minutes answering some questions. So, Jamie, I just unmuted you.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
I can, yeah.
Excellent. My question was, I feel, again, this is probably a program or a pattern of feeling that in order to reach out to people, I need to have an excuse, like I have a new program, or I just rebranded, or I have this event coming up, something to kind of offer them, or to have a reason to connect rather than just saying, hey, remember we did a session a couple of months ago? Like, you know, so that was really my question. And also offering my services for free to either community leaders or other people in order to get referrals.
Yeah, great. So let me take the questions one by one. First of all, first question, great. And that's exactly where we're going next, is creating what's the opportunity, right? Like if we're going to have a referral campaign, we want to have an opportunity. So I'm actually just hold on a couple minutes and I'm going to take you step by step. Even if you're not rebranding, even if you're not launching a new website, whatever, even if you don't have a new program, I'm going to take you step by step on how to still make a notable opportunity for a campaign. So you're there. We're just going there next. And then tell me your second question again, is offering.
Sure. Maybe offering my services for free in order to get more referrals. Like, you know, if you like my services, you can, I ask that you refer people
yep.
to me, you know, but, you know, community leaders or to people that would have a lot of access to people that they could refer.
Yeah. So again, that's what we're going to be designing next is the opportunity. What I'll say in general, you don't want to offer one-on-one sessions for free. It just doesn't really work. It's such a common notion out there to say like, I'll give you a free sample session and then you'll either want to work with me or you'll want to, bring referrals to me. I really recommend against that. In module two, I'm going to teach you some other ways to easily have people learn about your work and connect with your work and experience your work, but it's not like a free sample session. So again, hold on and we're going to get to all of the details of that. Sound good?
Thank you. And you could yeah. see my name on Skype on the queue and call.
Yeah, I can.
Okay,
yep.
Awesome.
So even though you're Skype, I can see your hand raised.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're yeah. welcome. Okay, we've got time for at least another question. I've taken somebody off mute. 1456 are your last four numbers.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes. Who is this?
Great. Hi, my name is Catherine.
Hi, Catherine.
Catherine from earlier. Hi.
Hi.
I'm a massage therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if you have any advice for people who have moved to a new area and
mm-hmm.
can no longer service the area where maybe they got their start. So, for example, I've been a massage therapist in the city and in Brooklyn and New York for 3 years, and now I live up in Westchester. And it's just I'm starting over, which is really exciting in a lot of ways, to be able to sort of change direction and achieve some other things that I wasn't able to before.
Yeah.
But my
yeah.
my base of sort of resources of people to say, hey, I'm doing this new thing, you know,
yeah.
send me
your
friends.
Yeah.
I'm a little overwhelmed as to where to start.
Yeah. You're location based and you've moved. So
yeah.
You're not starting from scratch, Catherine. First, I know it feels that way, but I really want to share with you that you're not starting from scratch because you already had an established business. Now, the good news, I've got a couple of ideas for you, and the good news is that you haven't moved cross-country, and even if you would have, you still wouldn't be starting from scratch, but because you're in Westchester, you know, your community from New York, Brooklyn, wherever it is, you don't know who they know or who they're friends with or where their mother-in-law lives or where their boss lives, right? Those people could easily be local to you in Westchester. So I would absolutely still connect in with current and past clients and colleagues that you've had, you know, in New York, where your practice was located. And again, you can just call it out, say, you know, I know that, you know, I've seen you in New York or Brooklyn, whatever it is. I've moved to Westchester and I am wondering if you know, and I'll be giving you, you know, some, more languaging for this, but you just call it out, right? Do you know anyone in Westchester? So, that's number one, is don't assume that people don't have connections in other places. Again, I'd be telling you this even if you moved to California because you never know, but especially because you're in Westchester, my sense is that there are connections. I lived in Brooklyn for many, many years and knew a number of people in Westchester. So that's number one. Number two is one focus of your referral opportunity and campaign as we get more into it is going to be those strategic referral partners that I spoke about earlier. So those would be people that are local to you. And it's funny because I used the example of the massage therapist, right? But you want to think of other who are, what types of professionals are in your area that are serving people that would be an ideal client for you that could make referrals to you and eventually vice versa. So that's another place where you're going to want to focus. Is that helpful?
It is, yeah, because I was even thinking about that, you know, like my doctors are all still in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't even plug, let's say, my current OBGYN to send me some of the pregnant ladies or people who are on bed rest because I do outpalls
now. I see that as a limiting belief.
I'm going to interrupt you there.
I see that as a limiting belief. Mm-hmm. Because I am sure that there are some people that live in Westchester that mm-hmm. work in New York that see doctors or midwives or whoever in New York,
mm-hmm.
but they actually
mm-hmm.
live in Westchester. So you're already assuming that those connections aren't there, and I'm really – what I'd love for you to do, Catherine, is just open up your thinking about that. People commute.
No, I need to because, you know, it's like everybody who lives in Brooklyn, their world does not exist outside of Brooklyn. So I have to let it go.
Yeah,
so,
and you're making a lot of assumptions. So
I
want to just encourage you to move the assumptions aside and still work your community. See who's out there. Okay?
Okay, that's really helpful. Yeah, thank you.
Great. Beautiful. Beautiful. Wonderful. So let's move in to module 2. We're just taking it step by step today. And module 2 is create powerful referral opportunities and invitations. And for this chunk, we're looking at part 1. There's going to be a part 1 and a part 2 to this referral and to this module. And part 1 is really creating the opportunity for a powerful referral invitation and a powerful referral campaign. And this is what Jamie was beginning to get at for those of you that were on the line at 12:35. So again, what I'm going to be teaching you in terms of creating this referral opportunity is a reusable process. So we're going to use it to put in place for you today and this week. But I want you to know if you can come back to this whenever you want, a couple times a year. So when I say create a powerful referral opportunity, what am I even talking about? So it's wonderful for people to spontaneously make referrals to you for no good reason. Like, oh, just, you know, I want you to know Joanna because she is wonderful and you guys need to connect. I think she can really help you. It's so great when that happens. And later on today in Module 4, we're going to really talk about how to create the environment for those spontaneous referrals. But what can often be really, really powerful and really help is if you provide and create a compelling opportunity, a compelling structure, format, experience for somebody to make a referral into. So instead of just like, oh, you know, talk to Joanna, for there to be some kind of formal opportunity, because when there's a formal opportunity, and when I say formal, I don't mean formal like, you know, with a tie or anything like that, a bow tie. I just mean that there's a structured opportunity for someone to invite, to connect, a way for somebody to connect with you. It just makes it so much easier a lot of times to make that referral when there is that structure. So often, as entrepreneurs, we think that somebody isn't making a referral because maybe they don't value our work or, you know, whatever the reason is. But what it really, the real reason why they aren't making the referral is because they don't know how to make the referral. Or they haven't even thought to make the referral in the first place. It just hasn't even crossed their mind. So creating a powerful referral opportunity as opposed to the open-ended, you know, just spontaneous, really will make it much more compelling for your community and just so easy breezy for people to refer to you. So I want us to take a look at what these referral opportunities can be. It can be a lot of different things, and what I'm going to be asking you by the end of this part one of this module is to design your first referral opportunity. So I'm going to give you a couple of examples of what this can be, and I just want to encourage you as you take in these different examples of a referral opportunity, of a structure and a format for a referral to come in to you, just remember you can get super creative here, right? So really make this your own. Use, adapt it for yourself, right? And the best way to adapt one of these ideas for yourself is I want you to be thinking that now the women on the line who are my clients, they'll understand this languaging, because I teach this in your sacred business, but I think some of you may at least know a little bit about this. So I want you to be thinking about your sacred message, right? What's your business's sacred message? What's your business's mission and vision? Who is your ideal client, right? I want you to be thinking about all of these things as you create your powerful referral opportunity, because you want your powerful referral opportunity, you want it to match your business's message, your business's vision, who your ideal client is. If it doesn't match, then it's not going to be compelling for people to make referrals into that format or that opportunity, and it's not going to be compelling for the prospects themselves. So here are some examples of powerful referral opportunities. Number one, it can be as simple as an enrollment conversation. You don't want to call it an enrollment conversation, but a get-to-know-you conversation or whatever your title is for that conversation. So in other words, when you eventually send out your campaign to this list of people that you've just made, what you can tell them is that you'd like for them, you know, the opportunity for anyone that they let know about you is that this person will have a complimentary get-to-know-you conversation or whatever you want to title that conversation. Now, again, as I was sharing with Jamie earlier, this is not a free sample session. An enrollment conversation or a get-to-know-you conversation, I call mine an intuition activation session. We're not giving your services away for free. I'm not going to get too much into it on our training today because I do a full training in your sacred business on the enrollment conversation. But what I will share is it really is an opportunity for you to connect with the prospect, for you to get to see what's not working for them, and for them to get clear on what's not working for them to get clear on what they really want for themselves, and then for the two of you to talk about how you can help them. So if you're, for example, you know, to use Jamie's example, if you're a massage therapist, in this get-to-know-you session, Jamie is not going to be giving a free sample massage. But instead, if you choose this get to know you as the powerful opportunity, she's going to be having a conversation with somebody about what they want for themselves, where they might be in pain, and then how she can help them, right? So that's one example of a powerful referral opportunity is a conversation. The conversation can either be in person or over the phone about how you might be able to help and to be able to get to know this prospect. The second kind of powerful referral opportunity that you might want to create can be a lunch or coffee meeting where your referrer and your referral are both present. So let me just get clear on languaging here. We're going to call the referrer the person that makes the referral and the referral the prospect, right? So it can be a really great and powerful and effective strategy for the opportunity that you're inviting people into is kind of like an intimate coffee or an intimate lunch where it's just the three of you, you, your referrer, and your referral. And what can be nice about this, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more later, is that the more that you can get your referrer, the person who's making the referral, the more that you can get your referrer involved in your powerful referral opportunity, the stronger it's going to be. Because the more your referrer is invested, and then they're just there as a live support and testimonial during that opportunity where their friend or colleague, you know, the prospect is there as well. So it can make everything much stronger. So that's another example of a powerful referral opportunity. But it doesn't have to be one-on-one, right? Like the two examples that I just gave, either the get-to-know-you call or the lunch or the meeting, you know, those are all prospect by prospect by prospect setting up different meetings for each one. That might be what you create as your powerful referral opportunity right now, but you can also do a one-to-many kind of thing. So another idea here for a powerful referral opportunity that you might want to create is something like an open house, for example, where you're hosting a 90-minute or however long it is event. And you are, you know, there's a topic to the event, and we'll talk more about, you know, what that could look like. And you're inviting in, you're asking people to invite their friends and their community and people that they know to this open house event. I recommend if you're going to do an open house event and create one, and this can be a really great format for a referral opportunity because you can be in person, in the room, and it's a way for people to really connect with you, to experience you. I recommend that it either be free or low priced. Again, we're not giving your services away for free, but this is a marketing strategy where you're hosting a free or low priced event so that it's easy breezy for people to just take that next step to begin to learn more about you, to connect with you, to be in your presence. And then from there, you might make an invitation into a more intimate conversation with you or straight into your offerings, whatever it is. Some other takes on the open house opportunity can be a client appreciation evening. And this is where you create an evening that is for your clients, right, as a way of appreciating them. Maybe you're giving them more content. Maybe you're giving them an extra experience. And as part of it, you're inviting your clients to each invite two of their friends to this evening for free, right? So I love this referral opportunity because it serves so many purposes. Number one, you're giving your clients something that's complimentary, that's extra and special for them. But then number two, they get to share that with their friends. So they get to invite their friends to this special event, which is just special for them, right, to be able to make that invitation. And then you get to connect with their friends. Depending on who you are and what your work is, this open house or this client appreciation evening can take so many forms. If you do, a lot of you know I come from a ritual background. I've done this before as a new moon circle, for example, or a women's ritual where it's an open house or a client appreciation and people bring their friends. Another take on this is what I like to call the Tupperware party. You're not actually selling Tupperware, but you might get in touch with a particular client or past client or colleague, referral partner, and ask them to host an evening for you, right, where maybe they invite 10 or 15 of their friends and you create an experience for that group. What I like about the open house idea is that it's less intimidating sometimes than setting up that lunch meeting that I was talking about, or even having a referral come straight into some kind of get-to-know-you conversation, right? It's less intimidating because there's other people in the room. It's sort of easier to come into that sort of environment. And then after you give your content or your experience for that open house, then at the end you want to make a call to action to invite people to the next step in your funnel, which would be more of an intimate conversation with you. Again, the other reason why I like this kind of opportunity is because you can get your referrer involved in it as well, right? So the person that's making the referrals can be present at the open house or the client appreciation evening or whatever. Again, you're thinking about your sacred message, mission, vision, ideal client, you know, what is it for you? I want to talk about a special kind of open house. And I saw this come up in a couple of the pre-homework assignments that were sent in. And just so you guys know, I always read homework, and I always just design anything, any of my trainings, anything like this, around what my participants need. And so I saw this as a need, and I want to put it out there. So what I saw is that some of you are working with, for example, with children. And you have, for example, like somebody in a school, maybe a guidance counselor in a school is making referrals to you, as an example. And some of you were wondering, well, how do I kind of engage with these guidance counselors more, or just use the law of adaptation, whatever it is for your business. You know, when somebody is removed and they're not going to have a firsthand experience of your work, but you know that they can make referrals to you, how can you activate it in terms of more referral generation? So you can do a special take on an open house. So as an example, you can do an open house where you invite all of the guidance counselors in your town, right, from all of the schools, where you do an educational night for them on your work. Or, you can have an open house where maybe you have some of the children that you're working with, you know, they're there and you're teaching those children, you're giving them those content, but you've invited those guidance counselors to be in the room as well so they can actually get a taste of how you work with kids and what you do. So again, I want to invite you to get creative here. Think about the different people that you put on your list from the first homework chunk. And what is that special referral opportunity structure that can really help? another take on the open house, if you do a lot of your work virtually, is to do some kind of teleclass. That would be complimentary. And again, everything that we spoke about with the open house applies. I prefer, I do a lot of teleclasses, but for referral generation, my first choice is always in person as opposed to over the phone. And the reason being is just because the women that I work with, and I have a sense that everybody on the line will fall into this category, if you're soul-centered, you do really well in person. Like when people are in the actual room with you, they connect deeply with you. So I'm not saying don't do something virtual. It's great to add that in, you know, throughout the year as a referral opportunity. But I really, it's great to have some in-person pieces as well. So those are some ideas for powerful referral opportunity that you're going to want to craft. And just so you know where we're going, you know, in this part one, you're going to craft what the opportunity is. You're going to pick one of these as sort of like the format and begin to really vision it so that you can invite folks into it. And then in part two, we're going to work on the actual invitations for it. But what I want to share with you next is some components of powerful referral opportunities. I've already shared some, but I want to just sort of go through a list of what I have really come to see are components of a powerful referral opportunity. And first, I want to share with you what is a powerful, what are powerful components for the referrer, right? So for the person that's going to make the referral, what makes a powerful referral opportunity? Number one, for it to be something of value, right? So each of those things that I listed, you know, they're of value. That intimate conversation with the prospect, they're going to have an opportunity for 45 minutes to really take a look at what's not working for them, what they really want for themselves, what might be able to help them. Even that in and of itself is of value for the prospect because they get to look inwards and see what it is that they really need and what's going to help them, right? So you want it to be something of value. You want the opportunity to be something that your referrer is going to be excited about. Because again, if we just go back to why people refer, they want to be of service. So if the referrer just thinks that the open house that you're going to do or the client appreciation night is just the coolest thing ever, they're going to be really excited about it. They're going to feel it's of service to tell their friends. So you want it to be something that you know the referrer is going to be just really excited about. Again, you want it to be something that engages the referrer and brings him or her into the mix as well. Something that he or she can participate in is oftentimes a really nice component of the opportunity. You want a special incentive for the referrer. Now, I know that I mentioned earlier that gifts and money and incentives don't motivate. That's not what motivates a referral, and that is true. And at the same time, when you create your powerful referral opportunity, you do want to have something special for the referrer if they refer someone that ends up buying your services. It's just a nice thank you to the referrer, and that can either be it could be in the form of money, so it can be like a 10% of what you earn, but that may not be what your ideal referrer wants. You know, it may not be money. It might be something else. It might be a session with you, if you have time to give a session to them, right? So for each client that they refer, that you bring in, maybe your referrers want time with you, or maybe they want a discount on some of your other services, or maybe there's some kind of special gift list, right, that doesn't even have to do with your services. It doesn't have to be big. It can literally, you know, be a gift card to Starbucks if you want. But, you know, what's the incentive there? Some other components of the powerful referral opportunity for the referrer, for the person that you're inviting to make the referral, you want to have a really good title for your opportunity. So don't just call it an open house. What's a compelling title that's really going to speak to your referrer and to the prospect? Or if it's a call, a special call with you, like we've been talking about, or that lunch meeting with you, let's give it some kind of jazzy name, some kind of jazzy title, to get people more excited about it. And then, of course, along with that, you want to let the referrer know that it is relevant to the people in their community, right? So what is going to compel someone to refer you is if they know that your opportunity, your open house, your teleclass, your new moon circle, your enrollment conversation, whatever it is going to be valuable and relevant to the people that they know. It's going to speak to the people in their community, and it's going to speak to the, we could call it the trigger issues of the people in their community. So what the people they know are struggling with or need help with. So those are the components of a powerful referral opportunity for the referrer. And I want to just speak a little bit about some, as you vision your powerful opportunity, you want to think about the prospect as well, right? The actual referral, the person that has been told about you. What do you want to put into your opportunity for it? So whether it's the open house, the teleclass, whatever it is, you want it to be something that allows you to really connect with this prospect. You want it to be something that allows you to demonstrate your value to them and to really shine in your brilliance. So if you're going to be giving an open house presentation, you want to pick content and you want to pick a topic that really allows you to shine and demonstrate your value. And you want to pick a format, whatever that format is, that allows you to really connect in with your referral. You know, maybe something that includes Q&A, for example, or something that's a little experiential, or whatever it is, but something that allows you to learn more about the prospect and the prospect to feel that they are really connecting with you. In the referral opportunity, as I mentioned before, no matter what it is, you want to activate gap, vision, and bridge. Now, this is a full, activating gap, vision, and bridge is like, is a full module that I go over and teach you in your sacred business. We don't have time to go deeply into it today. There's a whole art to mastering this, and we really go through it in your sacred business. But for now, for those of you that don't know about it, you know, what that is you want to, in this referral opportunity, activate gap. You want to help people connect with, as I've been saying a couple times already today, what's not working for them, where they need help. And then you want to activate vision. You want to connect them emotionally to what it is they really want for themselves. And then you want to show how you're the bridge, how you can help them get from point A to point B. Point A is where they are now, where they're feeling their gap. And then you're offering your service and the content that you share in your powerful referral opportunity helps them get from that point A, where they are now, their gap, to that point B, to their vision, to what they want for themselves. Another component that's really important, particularly if it's more of the open house or the teleclass, is to have testimonials there, to have maybe one or two clients there that can speak to the value of working with you. Again, that's just another type of referral. If it's more of the one-on-one, like the get-to-know-you conversation, you want to share client success stories. So client success stories are the next best thing after testimonials. And then the other component is at the end of whatever the opportunity is, you want to have a strong call to action to work with you. You want to be able to really powerfully invite the prospect or prospects into working with you. Okay, so before we move into the second get it done chunk, I'm going to give you your homework and then I'll open up for Q&A on this. So we're going to have our second work chunk in a little bit. And the work chunk is to design your powerful referral opportunity. So whether it's the open house or the client appreciation or the get to know you call or the Tupperware party or the, you know, opportunity to have lunch with you, whatever it is, I'm going to give you some time to design it. Now, it doesn't, by the time you're done with this work chunk, it doesn't need to be fully designed or fully thought out in order to move into the next part of the training, which is to send out the invitations. But I do want you to have, begin to get a rough idea and begin to get into some of the details. It'll help you obviously create your invitations and your campaign. So what I want you to do in this next work chunk as you design that powerful referral opportunity is, number one, really vision. Vision, I want you to literally close your eyes and see what it looks like. See details. I want you to see if you can come up with a compelling title for the opportunity. I want you to get clear on who is this opportunity for? What is this prospect struggling with? What is it that they really want? Write this all out. So who is the opportunity for? What are they struggling with? What do they want? That will help you understand it better. I want you to, as you vision, to get clear on what people are going to receive from this opportunity that you're creating. What are they going to walk away with by the end of the conversation or the open house? If it's a group event that you yourself are going to be hosting, like the open house or the new moon circle, whatever it is for you, I want you to take out your calendar, get clear on a time and a date, and if you need a location, begin to brainstorm that. And then I want you to list out the different components of your powerful referral opportunity. Will you be doing a demonstration, for example, or something experiential? Will there be Q&A? Are you going to be including testimonials or client success stories? What are the main pieces of content that you want to cover? So really, you'll have time to really vision and get clear. Before we do that, I'll open up for any questions that you might have. Okay, hold on a second. I'm having a technical issue here. Rebecca, I think I tried to take you off mute, and by mistake, your hand didn't get raised. So just raise your hand again, and I'll come right back to you. Wendy.
Hey, Joanna.
Hi.
Great so far. I'm loving this. Thank you. Okay, a couple of things. You know I'm already doing an open house idea.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered, because my mind, starts to go into all these other ideas, and I wondered how you might suggest I use this time to really amp up what I am doing as opposed to starting something else.
Yeah.
Or what you'd suggest. And I have a couple other questions, too, after that.
Yeah, great question. I'm glad you brought it up. I was going to mention it. Different people on the referral list might need different kind of referral opportunities. So I just encourage everyone to pick one referral opportunity for today. Again, it's a repeatable process. So for you, Wendy, tell me, you know, as you've been doing, you know, you're talking about your evenings with Wendy, mm-hmm. What is it that you're seeing, and where are you seeing some places that maybe aren't working so well? That will kind of help me answer your question as opposed okay. to just taking a stab.
Okay. Right. Thank you. So one person that we know is setting it up. It's already, you know, triple what we thought it was going to be for attendance.
Yay.
I've got some things like how to keep the energy going, but that's for a different part of this class. So the what's not working is other people who don't have the same experience that Ginger does
mm-hmm.
are having more hesitation about doing it. Can they actually get people there? You know, there are people that just haven't pulled something like this together.
Yeah.
And so Heather suggested to me, well, you know, really look at, they have different skills here.
Yeah.
And so all the other people that I've gone to either have hesitation about them being successful in pulling it together, or they don't know my work well enough, so they want to know more, and so it's just dragging out a little longer.
Yeah. So a couple of things come to mind. Number one, for you to take it upon yourself to provide as many materials as possible. For the people that feel like they can't pull it together,
mm-hmm.
for you to really provide, have it done for them
yes.
as much as possible. So almost think of it as like you're creating a kit for an evening with Wendy. And
Joanna, they know this, but they
okay.
still have concerns. They don't want me to come all the way over to their state and mm-hmm. not pull it off their concern.
Well, you wouldn't come over there unless they had RSVPs, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming that even if it's a couple of RSVPs, it would still be worthwhile for
mm-hmm.
you to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as long as it's like 10 or so.
Uh-huh. So
yeah.
I think what's important is for you to let them know that you're taking responsibility for yourself
mm-hmm.
and your decisions.
Mm-hmm.
in this, that they don't need to take
mm-hmm.
over responsibility for you,
got it.
That they don't need to take care of you, that if you sense, you know, based on, you know, who RSVPs to them, if you sense that it's not right for you, that you'll take responsibility for that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you make the choice to come, you're coming happily and you take responsibility for that choice no matter what the outcome is.
Nice.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, sometimes in a prospect conversation, someone's like, well, I don't know if we should do it because I don't want to waste your time,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, don't, you know, what I always like to tell a prospect is, don't worry about that, you know? I'm making my own choice here. I'm
mm-hmm.
happy to invest the time.
It's similar to what Lorna was asking you about money, but in a different way.
Yeah. Is that helpful?
Yeah. Can I ask you the other couple? Which I think
would
be a,
yeah, one
bit.
More. There's a whole
okay.
lot of people wanting to ask questions,
okay.
so ask me one more, and we can always come back. I'll be on the line during the break.
Okay, you had special incentives for different referrers because people like different things. How do you know? You ask them?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, just
thank
ask
you.
Them. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Great. Awesome questions. Okay. Rebecca, I think I got you back here.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes. Hi.
Hey, I'm so glad to be here with you.
Same here. How can
Yay.
I help?
Okay, so I was going through my homework, and I was like, wow, I actually have relatively good lists of, like, former clients and colleagues and referral partners.
Awesome.
And what was Yay! So what was coming up? Me was like sort of a blend of energetical and practical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm in the middle of a referral campaign where I'm like following up and, so it's like, well, how can I do this well when nothing seems to be happening? And then looking at the list, it's like, well, there's some people who were clients and then decided not to work with me anymore, and it was kind of a weird renewal process that they decided not to renew. So I'm like, do I just never contact them again? And then there are the people where it's like, they're a colleague who, they're like, yeah, you're on our list of referral tutoring people, but I haven't heard from them for like a year and a half. So it's just like the practical and energetical, like handling those energies of uncertainty about asking those people for help.
Yeah, yeah, great question. So first, in terms of the energetic, it really just, it goes back to our first chunk of the day, right? And no matter whether it was someone who worked with you but then they didn't renew, or if you haven't been in touch with them for a year and a half, what I really want you to do, Rebecca, is to connect into why at this moment it would be a win-win-win to get in touch with them, and for you to really connect in to the value of your work. Because even if somebody worked with you and they didn't renew, now you're not going to get in touch with every past client that didn't renew with
right.
you. There were some that just, it doesn't, you know, they weren't for you, they're not going to make a referral, it's fine. But the ones where they really engaged in that next steps process, but for whatever reason they didn't renew, but you know that they found value in your work, you want to reach out to them. And in order to prepare yourself energetically for that, I want you to go back, and you can even go back with each one of them to specifically what their celebrations were in their work with you. So go back and remember what they really received from working with you. Write it out. Get it out of your head and onto the paper, and literally connect your heart to the value of what they received. Do you sense that would be helpful and just giving yourself permission to reach back out to them?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
It's about, like, the value and not about my fear. So it's a big reframe.
Yes, good. And then from there, in terms of the practical, you know, what I would do, so for the old clients that didn't renew, I would – number one, just say, it's been so long since we've been connected. I've been thinking about you, right? Which you have been. How
yeah.
are you? Right? How are you doing? You've been on my mind. And that's something that I often say when I reach out to people, and not because it's a lie, like truly from an authentic place. Like, I've been thinking about you. It's been a while. How are you doing? Right? And you could do this with, those people, those colleagues that are referring you as well, you know, and then from there you can just say, you know, one of the reasons why you've been on my mind is because I'm having this open house, or I'm having this teleclass, and I know it's been a while since we've worked together, but I thought that I thought that you might enjoy it, right? Because the best referral is actually someone who refers themselves back into your work, right? Continuing client. And I also have this sense, and also you'll be getting templates for this with languaging. I also have this sense that you might know some other people that would love it, right? And you can go on from there, but honestly, just be authentic and warm and welcoming. You don't need to address that there was any weirdness. You just start from where you are now and let them know that you care about them and that you're thinking about them and that you want to connect. What are you hearing for yourself?
I don't have to acknowledge the weirdness. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to reconnect even if there's been space, and I can acknowledge the space without acknowledging the weirdness.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And honestly, what's the worst that can happen?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Which is already happening. So
right.
So, could I ask an add-on question?
Yeah.
So one thing that has a lot of potential for referral generation is math teachers or math department heads who have me on their list of recommended tutors, and it's just automatically going out to parents. And I've spent a lot of energy starting these relationships, but I'm not sure how to nurture them long-term, except for the times I know
with
the math teachers at these different schools.
For you, Rebecca, one powerful referral opportunity, it may not be the campaign you work on today,
mm-hmm.
but for you, I was actually thinking of, like, some kind of fun evening for math teachers, where you host an evening and you invite, like, the math teachers that have referred you before that you know might, and it can be educational for them because maybe you share with them some tools up your sleeve that you share with some of, you know, the kids that you tutor, but you also get to show them how you really work. And you can maybe have, like, some food there, and it's an opportunity for them to network. And then at the end of the evening, you can tell them that you have space in your practice or whatever it is. How would something like that feel for you?
I'm just wondering how to adapt it because I work virtually with students nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, so you'd have to think about how to do that possibly.
Yeah.
But
like, just stock everyone a cupcake.
Yeah, the food part doesn't work so well virtually. But I
okay.
have a sense if it's like a 60-minute call and you make it really compelling for those math teachers, like they're going to learn some tools for themselves as well, that it could be an interesting thing to try out for you.
Cool. This is getting the wheels turning, so thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great questions. All right, we've got time for one or two more before I send you off on your work chunk. Do you know when I'm taking you off mute? I'm not sure. If not, your last four numbers are 8432. I think it's Jennifer. Are you there? Hello?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Hi.
Oh, hi. Great. Thanks for taking my question. So I also work with children, as you kind of were using as an example before.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that kind of works with children knows and is sensitive to the fact that parents are inundated with, events like this, whether it's around an open house for a school or for some other offering. And I'm sensitive to the fact that they are busy people and get a lot of these invitations that are, probably vying for their time and their dollars. So I'm hoping to partner with other people in my community that are offering services. I'm a music teacher, and there's a swim program, and there's a gymnastics program, and there's a dance program and things that if we could all partner together and be, offer discounts or things that dovetail together would be more advantageous to, kind of getting those time and dollars from this one particular community. However, I have concerns about approaching those business owners for some sort of event that you're talking about and coming across as the competition or as how do I approach them as partners in a way that doesn't put them in a position to think that I'm overstepping or that we are going to then be put in a competition rather than in partnership?
Yeah, great question. So I've got a couple of thoughts for you on this. And the first is just to call out for you, I agree there are so many events and opportunities and parents or not parents, whatever it is, there's a lot of everything out there. So I hear your point about, just getting people's attention. And just the first thing that I want to share about that, this is really important, is that anytime you market anything or put an invitation out for anything, if we all thought about all of the other opportunities that other people are putting out there, we'd just say forget about it and like go watch daytime TV or something like that. So what I find to be really important is to get really clear on this is who my ideal client is. This is what my ideal client wants. This is what I can help them with. And to design an opportunity as well as your copy, your languaging around that. Because, Jennifer, the more that you can do that, your event isn't going to call to every parent out there, but what it will do is for the folks that are meant to work with you or the parents of the kids that are meant to work with you, their ears will open up when they see your languaging around it. And they're going to feel like, oh, she gets my kid, right? If you can really address, like, what their children's needs are and how you help it and really describe that ideal kid that you work with, the parent, your opportunity, your event is going to rise to the cream of the crop for that right parent. She's going to feel like you get her kid, and she's going to be much more likely to kind of hone in and zero in on you and kind of tune out the other opportunities out there. So that's number one. I want you to not go into this with any, like, obstacles or beliefs that, oh, there's so many other things out there, so I'm not going to be able to distinguish myself. The best way...
I completely agree with you, and I'm actually, if there's one thing that I didn't see when we were doing the visualization, is that I am confident that I'm the shit. I know what I have to offer, and I know what my client is, and that's why I wanted to use this homework time to think about, I know that my perfect client also goes to these particular businesses as well.
Yes.
And
so
that's where I'm stuck.
Yes. Okay, so let me get to that next. So when you approach other people, first and foremost, you want to make sure that you don't have the competition energy, which it doesn't sound like you do, but you want to just make sure that you're clean there. And then from there, you want to present it as, you know, you want to go in with the attitude of collaboration, not competition.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to present it to the partner as a win-win-win, right? So what would be in it for them if you were to partner together in this way or have an open house with three or four businesses, you know, why would it be a perfect opportunity for them?
Okay.
And you want to think beforehand and really write out, okay, these are the reasons why it would really benefit this other business owner. You want to think about the people that you're inviting and their businesses specifically and how it would benefit them. Get really clear on that. And then when you have a conversation with them, you want to present it in that way. This is what I see as why it would be a really valuable opportunity for you, right? And really talk to them about it. And even in that conversation, you can ask them, you know, if you've done this before, what has been really valuable for you? What components would make it really worthwhile for you, and really have a brainstorming session around it so that you're really showing them you're not coming at this in competition, there's enough for all, and that you want to work with these partners to really make it work for everyone. Is that helpful?
Yeah. Would you say that that's a private conversation between, you know, business owner to business owner to create an event or an event for business owners? And, you know, is that a conversation that has to happen, or is it an invitation that goes to those businesses and see who kind of answers the call?
If you're going to do an event with other strategic partners, I really recommend that you are very, what's the word I want to use? Choosy. That's not the right word. But I wouldn't invite at the outset a ton of people. I would really do your due diligence, do your homework on each of the businesses, and pick two or three or four that you